Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today is Thursday, May 13th, and this is Celtics Beat on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics. I'm Adam Kaufman. Episode 408 featuring the Boston Globe's Gary Washburn is powered by betonline.ag. Go to betonline.ag today and use the promo code CLNS50 for a 50% sign-up bonus. Well, wish I could tell you it was going to be a more uplifting Celtics beat today, but that's just not the case. If you've had fun watching the Seas this season, then you're the one. That's it. No, none of us have. I'm Adam Kaufman. Welcome in. You know Evan Valenti and, of course, Gary Washburn, good friend of this program, longtime Boston Globe scribe, columnist, and covers not just the Seas, but the entire league and, of course, the Celts most closely. Gary, how are you independent of watching this team play this year?
Oh, everything's good. I mean, we're slowly getting out of the pandemic and we're starting to open up a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, everything personally is great. So, that's all I got for that. But
And then it's all downhill from here, right?
Yeah. But that's the good part. But for the Celtics, not so good.
No, losses in 5 out of 6, 2 games left in the regular season. We now know, obviously, this team is locked into the play-in tournament, which means maybe it will go to the playoffs, maybe it won't. We'll find out. The 7 seed is most likely, though that is not, even as we chat right now, definitive. You still got the Hornets, the Pacers in the mix. Washington and Chicago are battling for the final play-in spot, but your top 6 and at least the order that it sits right now, it could change seeding-wise. But the Sixers, Nets, Bucks, that is the top 3 clearly in the East. And around that, the Hawks, the Heat, and the Knicks. Celtics, as we know, I mean, the season's effectively over, guys. They're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything. Even if they do escape the play-in round, and inevitably they will. That's how this season has gone. They just, you know, do the unthinkable, do the unpredictable. So they'll get out of the play-in tournament. They'll go to the postseason and maybe shock people just for giggles and win a round. But they're not doing anything noteworthy, as we know, because Jaylen Brown is he's done. He has had his wrist surgery. Ends a remarkable year for him, both on and off the floor. And, you know, when you consider, obviously, everything, his role in social initiatives and everything that has happened over the course of the year plus. But specifically basketball, it was a dynamic. It was a great year of growth for him. But this team, I guess in some ways, Gary, I don't know if you felt this way. Maybe you're a little less emotionally invested as someone who covers the team than a regular fan would be, obviously. But, you know, there's an element of once that injury news came out, once I saw it, I just kind of went, you know what? Good. And not good, obviously, that Jaylen is hurt and has to go through this and deal with all the recovery. Like, that whole part sucks. But just simply the fact of, now I'm not going to lull myself into believing that this team can just magically flip that switch, get healthy, and go on some kind of run in the playoffs. We now know that there's no mirage coming. This team is what it has been all season long, and whatever's going to happen this offseason is going to happen, but nothing is going to be reactionary to this team somehow magically getting to the conference finals.
I just think it's very typical of what's been a very disheartening season that it was, you know, that he has this kind of wrist injury that grows to be so painful and then it ends up being something that's pretty significant, you know, where it's going to take him out of the summer, you know, like no USA basketball for Jaylen. I know he's interested in that. That's out. And it's going to, you know, hopefully he'll be back for training camp next year. I think that's why he got the surgery so quickly. But it's just a disappointing end to what has been just a very bizarre, strange, unfortunate season for the franchise and an eye-opening season, a season that I think tells the organization, the ownership, that things have to change, that they have to start changing some philosophies, go in a different direction and start making some different decisions, because what they're doing obviously isn't working.
So I guess what I wonder in response to that is, what's going to change? Because there are all sorts of ideas that are out there, right? I mean, you've got Jeff Goodman, part of the CLNS network, who is, about as big a Brad Stevens guy as you will find in terms of, you know, he's like Evan and I, the, you know, Brad can do no wrong kind of thing. We love Brad, but, you know, co-presidents of the fan club. Even Jeff is saying, you know what? I mean, I'm not so sure that it wouldn't be the right move for them to part ways, just, you know, for both sides, for the Celtics, for Brad. And I don't think that's going to happen, especially with a half dozen years left on his contract after that extension last August. But, and not to mention turning down Indiana, if, you know, presuming that was actually offered to him, at least, you know, he could have had it if he wanted it. If we go off of what we believe, I don't think it's going to happen. But you have Jeff saying, you know, maybe Brad should go. You have Kendrick Perkins, among others, saying Marcus Smart needs to be traded. Listening to Danny on the radio doing his weekly hit on the Sports Hub this morning, you know, he was asked about all this stuff, and Danny said, you know, laughed at the idea that Brad's a problem. Brad is not going anywhere. Marcus Smart, and not just Marcus, and he basically said, continued to say, he's our heart and soul. But I don't think any of our best players are the problem. None of them need to go anywhere. But yes, something needs to be done this offseason. So what is it? I mean, what is it, Gary? Like, you're running out of options in terms of some sort of magical solution here.
Well, I think, one, let's put it all in perspective. They're a 500 team, and they have had a really bad season, and they're still 500 and going to be the seventh seed. So they're not the Timberwolves, okay? They're not the Pelicans or the Kings. They're not, we need to blow this up. So they do have a core and a base. It's just the entire surrounding areas need to be changed. There needs to be changes on the coaching staff. There needs to be changes in management. And there needs to be changes on the roster. And I'm not part of the fire Brad contingent, because I think he is bringing knives to a gunfight. If you realize this, okay, the class of 2019, the draft class, the Celtics have five guys from that class on their roster. Of the 17, 30% of their roster is the class of 2019, and Brad has used for one of those guys, Grant Williams. Carson Edwards, nope. Romeo Langford hasn't proven himself. Tremont Waters, Taco Fall. Five guys, 30% of your roster is made up from the class of 2019. Okay. And you can only use one of those guys. You only trust one of those guys. That's Danny's fault. Okay. That's Danny's fault. You're padding your roster with guys who cannot help you. Look at the Miami Heat. The Heat brought Trevor Rees up off the street. Why? Because he knows how to play. He knows all the schemes. There's nothing he hasn't seen in the league. You can bring him into a system, he'll learn it. He knows his role. He knows how to defend. He can shoot the three. He's 35, so what? Dwayne Dedmon signed him off the street. You whether have him or Luke Kornet. Like, these are moves that the Celtics could have easily made. And for whatever reason, have this, like, we're the Celtics, they're not worthy of playing for us kind of attitude, that Patriots kind of way. It's the, you know, the Patriots have six Super Bowls. And as you can see, they changed how they looked at things after going 8-8 or whatever they did this season, 7-9. So The Celtics have to start changing their philosophy. They have to pad their roster with veterans. They have to get rid of guys that they cannot use. Okay, it's okay to have a prospect or two. Look at, okay, the Brooklyn Nets today signed Mike James for the rest of the season. Mike James could have literally started last night in Cleveland for the Celtics and done well. Why not, like, where are those guys? Other teams are constantly making moves. They don't hold on to these guys for 5 years. They're not married to Carson Edwards. I like Carson. I don't know. Last night in Cleveland, they put him in the game. He missed all three shots. Brad took him out. Like, when does the clock begin to be productive? Meanwhile, like, They're relying on Peyton Pritchard. Peyton Pritchard already gets it. That was a good draft. They're coming. That's the positive. We're going to be positive this year. The 2020 draft was a good one for the Celtics. Neesmith's a good player, and so is Pritchard.
Could have held on to Desmond Bane, too.
Yes, they gave away a pick because they want to pay a guy because they're married to keeping all these other guys. So they didn't want to pay another first-round pick, so they gave Desmond Bane to Memphis. They couldn't use Desmond Bane shooting 45% from three. They couldn't. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, though. What are you doing? Giving away first-round picks. As coveted as they are, you just hand it to Memphis for a pair of seconds that guys are not going to make the team or who will never be in camp because they'll be overseas. Like, it's just a change in philosophy. Danny has to add some people to his staff. No more Austin and Zarin. Like, you know what? You got to break up the band. It was a good run. You can't rely. It can't be the family affair anymore. Stop that. Get some guys in your organization who know the league, better talent evaluators, and guys who can assess and draft better. And then stop having this Celtics way thing where you turn your nose up at guys like Ariza and guys who could really help you. That's the difference between the Celtics and the Bucks and the Nets and the Heat. And even like the Lakers, those teams make moves. The Lakers brought in Ben McLemore. You know, they bring in guys. They got Andre Drummond, you know, whatever. Last year they got Markieff Morris, a guy the Celtics could have easily traded for and who could have definitely helped them. Meanwhile, the Celtics have Shimmy Ogilvie, Carson Edwards, Romeo Langford. Is that scaring anybody? Like, no, it's not. And I hate to say, like, these are good, young, potential players, but how long you're giving them roles that they're not ready for or they're just not up to. As I said, 30% of your roster is filled with guys from the class of 2019. One of them plays.
A little.
Yes. Yeah, and Grant's not even like – and he gives you – some nights great minutes, some nights really bad minutes. And like
it's not like you have five and one of them is Tatum or Brown.
Right.
Yeah, you have – Grant is a serviceable reserve, okay? That's what Grant is going to be. I don't know what happened. I thought he was making strides offensively. He took a step back this year where he just makes a lot of mistakes and he's trying. You know, he's a lot of fouling too much, whatever. But, you know – forever, they don't trust Romeo yet. Carson, just if he's not making shots, which he doesn't. And then Tremont's okay. But did you really trust? Why is he starting last night and not Peyton Pritchard? In a game that you really need to win. You really need to win that game last night.
Evan, like,
just for your morale, you needed victory, but yet he starts Tremont. Because he likes being Peyton off the bench, and then Peyton plays Peyton more minutes. Like, I know starting to him is not a big deal, but that gets you going. Like, you get off to a 14-8 lead or something. Mm-hmm. What happens? They fell behind 22-11, and they're chasing the whole way.
Before you go, Ev, I know you've got a lot on your mind as well, and there's tons more to get to for both of us here, for all of us. But, Gary, just to pick up on what you were just talking about with – you know, changes to the front office, because I think we can all agree, and there are certainly the, you know, as much as there's the Fire Brad, there's the Fire Danny crew that's out there and has been out there for a while, because this team has not won a championship since 08, hasn't, you know, been in the finals since 10, has rebuilt multiple times on the fly a little bit, and obviously had some bad luck in addition to just some things not working out along the way. Are there, as someone who does cover the league on the whole, not just the Celtics, are there any names that you have in mind as far as breaking up that band and coming in and joining Austin and Mike Zarin and just, you know, being a voice in Danny's ear?
Well, I just think it would be great to get like a former player. And there's a guy like out there, like, you know, he's more of a coach, but like a James Posey. I mean, and I'm not being funny because he's had some issues the last couple of months, but Paul Pierce now is unemployed. I mean, he's got other stuff going on, but he wanted to get into management. Now, I think the issue with him, and there's a few now, but one, the good thing is, which will take away some of the attention, he's going to be named to the Hall of Fame Sunday. Mm-hmm. Okay. So all of the Instagram stuff and the naked women and all that, scantily clad women, hopefully I'll take a back seat. and he's going to be named to the Hall. Secondly, it'd be a great addition to your front office. I don't think Paul wants to live in Boston full time. So could you work something out where he could live in LA or come here every now and then or work remotely? You need to add another voice to your front office. Like, this is not working. You know, the talent assessment is not working. Okay, you drafted Grant over Brandon Clark. There's a lot of guys. You drafted Grant over, I want to say, Keldon Johnson. You know, there are just too many draft mistakes. They traded Matisse Thybulle. You don't think they could have used him to trade down to get Carson Edwards? That's not looking so good. Like, there's some type of, like, there's got to be another voice in this room to assess talent.
Right.
Because you're not, you're, if you're trying to build, if you're going to take all these draft picks, you got to score with them. You know, if not, trade them and get a veteran. But no, they used it on Romeo. They used it on Grant. They used it on Carson. I mean, that's a first round pick, but like, they've used these first round picks and they're just keeping them on the roster. And unfortunately, these guys are so limited. You can't, I mean, I think Shimmy's an NBA player, but can he help you consistently? I think they say no. Romeo, he's been injured so much, you don't know what to expect from him. He still looks, I mean, he should have stayed his ass at Indiana. He just wasn't physically ready for the league. And Grant was a really skilled player at Tennessee, and he's turned into kind of a bruiser. You know, just like a henchman. I don't know. Like, is he capable? So the thing is that they just have to add some new voices. Could it be Paul? Could it be someone? I mean, Perks into the TV thing now, but I think there are plenty of guys that would love to work. The Heat got Caron Butler, added to his coaching staff. The Clippers got Chauncey Billups. Like, that's where this direction is going. You need some dudes that Jason and Jalen can look at and be like, that dude's been there before. And then you need some good decision makers, some young decision makers in the front office that don't have that we only do it this way kind of mentality, so you can draft better.
Yeah, it's Belichick is one of the best things about Belichick. You mentioned the Patriots, like, they go 7-9. And then they spend 300 whatever million in free agency, and you get an article from Albert Breer saying that the Patriots draft plan this year is different than ever. Like, the one thing about New England is they're not afraid to admit their mistakes and move on. And that's something that I agree with you when it comes to this Celtics team. Danny, just for some reason, and I'm sure there are cap implications because of it too. Like, I'm in that, in the, some of the cap logistics, I don't totally understand. I'll be fully honest about that. It's a little bit over my head. But you're absolutely right. And like, this is my problem with the discourse surrounding this team this year, is everybody wants to blame one singular figure for this thing, right? They want to blame Brad for the, like, my favorite is, I can't decide which my favorite is. And maybe you can help me out here. There are the people that are like, we got to fire Brad Stevens. And I'm like, he's not out there shooting shots. I mean, there was a great moment in the game last night. I don't know if you heard this, Gary, where, it was dead silent in Cleveland, and you heard Brad in the microphone and pick it up. It was like, you know, push the ball or something like that. Or like, we need to move or something like that. Like, clearly Brad is trying to get them to do things. They're just not doing it. So it's like, not Brad's not out there jumping the basketball. He's trying to do what he can. The guy's in the best position. My other favorite is like, it's Jason Tatum's fault. I'm like, why is this Jason Tatum's fault? Like, I had an argument today with a guy about how Jason Tatum's not averaging enough assists. And I'm like, first off, you guys have to make a shot for Jason Tatum to get an assist. And if you looked at who he's passing to, look at last night. Tremont Waters started a game last night. They were without Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart. Fournier, thankfully, was available. No Jaylen Brown. No Robert Williams. Who is he passing to? Second of all, he's only 23 years old, and he's for the first time, like, really in his life, trying to become, instead of just a one-on-one scorer, for the first time in his life, he's trying to become an A1 type, like, LeBron point forward distributor. That takes time. So, like, the fact that he doesn't average 6 assists a game, like, relax. He's 22-23. That's going to take some time getting comfortable handling double teams and all that stuff. I think he's been fine. So, as you look at everything, I get back to the same thing. It's a Danny Ainge roster construction problem that they have primarily. Now, there are other things. Could Brad teach these guys or have different schemes? Sure. Could certain guys make certain plays? Sure. But when at the end of the day, for me, they don't have a roster that is like the rest of the juggernauts in the East or the teams that are in real contention. And it's refreshing to me to hear someone actually say that along with me, because I feel like a lot of times people are dancing around it. I just think it's a real bad Danny problem, and I'm with you. They look around the league. Look at Memphis and the way they've drafted. They've hit on so many draft picks at this point. You can't tell me, Gary, you can't call up Memphis and say, yeah, give me one of the young guys in your front office that needs a promotion. I'll give him one. We need a new voice in here. Look at the teams that draft well. Look at a team like Phoenix who went, and maybe it's just like they went and got Chris Paul, and that's what they did. But like Mikal Bridges has been a great player. Cam Johnson, who we all laughed at, by the way. Yeah. Why are you taking Cam Johnson here? Well, guess what? He's shooting 40% from three. What do we know? There's got to be a way, and I don't know exactly who it is. Nate, and I'm not totally sure if it's the Paul – I mean, getting a guy who's been there, done that, Paul Pierce, I'm all for it. I don't really care. But I don't know if he's the figure you need in the front office to really, and you know, discover, analyze talent.
I get it. Like, totally. Like, one of these guys who knows the college game, one of these, Mike Schmidt from ESPN, like one of these guys who knows the college game and knows talent. Because it's obvious that the Celtics are either, one, getting bad advice, or two, their scouting is failing them because, like you said, like they have guys who just never developed. And it's, we're going back to James Young. We're going back to Ante Zizek, the Ante Zizek Gershon draft. But they took Jalen that same draft, so they ended up kind of outshining them. But they had 3 first-round picks in that draft. The Terry Rozier was a good pick, but then R.J. Hunter wasn't. Like, you're missing way too often. And now they were supposed to trade some of these picks because they had this treasure chest of assets, and they end up taking them all. And none of them have turned out to be impactful, like a starter. Like, we don't know what to think of Romeo. Robert Williams, we don't know. And the Celtics, you can't really trust him at this point. Like, it is one nagging, kind of strange injury after another. And I feel bad for the guy. I don't think he wants to be hurt. He just isn't durable. And so they just have to change how they look at – they have to add some old head to the coaching staff. We're not allowed to practice. I can't see the impact that Evan Turner's having, but I don't think it's much. Like, is Evan Turner doing anything in terms of helping out these young guys? Does Tatum and Brown look at Evan Turner? Evan Turner is not old enough to be an old head. He's 33.
He's also never been there, like, to a finals or anything like that.
Activate him at this point. Give him a 10-day contract. You know,
like, yeah, he could still play if he wanted to. He could have still tried to literally get a deal. And it's like, is he having – okay, let's – And I think honestly, and people, hope people don't laugh at this, but like losing Carol Lawson, I think impacted the team. I think she had a very great impact on the team. And instead of replacing her, there's a lot of qualified woman coaches out there who would have accepted the job in a minute. Instead, they go to Evan Turner because Evan's a funny guy and he had a good stint. But it's like, is he impacting this roster and the players? And I said, like, I think Jerome Allen's solid and Jamie, like, they're not bad guys on the staff, but like, you need a guy that can command these guys and tell them, because it can't be Brad all the time.
It's like Udonis Haslem is like only on the Heat's roster for that exact reason. He has not logged a minute.
No, he's just the old head. He's a coach now. And it's like, if you're going to burn a roster spot, have it for a real purpose. Don't burn it on, guys who aren't going to help you. And so, like, that's Danny. Like, is this Taco thing going to go anywhere, or do you cut Taco? Like, even the two-way guys. Like, you ever seen other teams' two-way players? Like, Brooklyn had this dude, Alize Johnson. Like, they have ballers. Some of these two-way guys, that's why teams make so many swaps with two-way guys, because there's so many hungry guys out there looking for a chance. And, yeah, the Celtics hang on to Taco and Tremont for, like, 2 years each. Why? If they're not going to help you. Mike James, as I said before, it just kills me. He's out there making plays. He was with CSK Moscow. Like, the Celtics couldn't have brought him in to replace Jeff Teague, or couldn't have brought, like, I just don't get what's going on there. And I think there's a high level of arrogance that this guy wouldn't fit our system. Right. Unless Brad is like, no, I don't want to coach that guy. Now, I don't know. I don't know about Mike James or anything like that, but there's a certain kind of arrogance, because they're missing out on too many guys. And it's been the last few years, inexcusable. Because, as I said, like, last year, when this team's running a championship run, Markieff Morris was sitting in Detroit waiting to be traded. And the Pistons couldn't trade him. They bought him out. And buyout guys are not coming to Boston if the Lakers and the Heat make an offer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you – I mean, like they went hard at Drummond. And then meanwhile, Drummond's, you know, hanging out and working out in L.A. Where do you think he wants to play? He played in Cleveland and Detroit. You think he wants to come to Boston?
He could use some sunshine, I'm sure.
Yeah, like, I'm sure he's like, listen, I'm already here. This team trying to win a chip, and they got LeBron. Why are you trying to go for Andre Drummond when you could have signed or brought on Kim Birch, Gorgui Jang? Like, there were guys out there, or Dwayne Dedman was on the street. Like, there's something that is just inherently wrong with, like, holding on to these guys too long and afraid to make roster moves. Like, it's like, we don't want to get rid of Carson. You know, we like Carson. We don't want to get rid of Shimmy. And I like Shimmy. And I feel bad it hasn't worked out for Carson. I think they saw a little Isaiah Thomas in him. I think they saw the little guy who could score. It's just that it isn't working. I said last night, they give him a shot. He gets three good looks, misses all three. Boom, out the game.
But we'll always have that preseason game in Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That got everybody excited. And well, he hasn't. And I said, I feel bad for him, because I don't think he's not working hard. It's just maybe time for another environment. These aren't bad guys. And the Celtics don't want to say, oh, well, this guy went somewhere and flourished. Like, that's going to happen. That's the league, man.
That might be a factor, though. We were right. We were just a little too early or whatever.
That's the happens. Evan, that happens. That's the league, man. There's too many guys with third and fourth teams, because, let's be honest, half these dudes come out too damn early.
Well, look,
was Carson ready for the league? Now, he was a great, prolific college scorer. Grant Williams came out a year early. Okay, Grant Williams left Tennessee as a junior. Grant said, hey, I've done enough at Tennessee. I'm ready for the next level, man. Like, and he was a first-round pick, so it ended up working out for him. Half these kids are too young to come to the league. They're not ready physically, mentally. Their games aren't ready. Shimmy could have played another year. He left as a fourth-year junior. So sometimes it's going to click when these guys are 27. That's because that's when it usually would have, if they came out at 22 or whatever. But they're here too early, and you got to move on from these guys. These teams, you got to move. Like, you got to, hey, we like you. We're going to send you somewhere you can play, and you know, and you can get a fresh start. No harm done.
Well, how much of that, though, do you think is like time, though? Because you look at, as an example, right? Boston might think we have more time because we have Jason and Jaylen. They're 23 and 24. Meanwhile, you have a Lakers team led by LeBron who's at some point, body's going to fall apart. Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George. You have the Nets with the big three that they have in Durant, Kyrie. We don't know how long Kyrie's going to play. We don't know Durant's, you know, how long his body will hold up. And there's Harden, of course. and then you have, you know, Giannis and what's going on in Milwaukee. You don't have time to sit there because other teams are trying to win, right? Like Phoenix, like they can't, like this Chris Paul thing. We'll see how long it goes. Yeah. I love it. I love Chris Paul. This whole thing where he can go somewhere and turn him into contender immediately is incredible. They're going to be aggressive because they don't have a lot of – Chris Paul doesn't have a lot of time left. Do you think that's part of the reason why they have
– I do think that there's
– But here's the thing too, though. Yeah. Like, do you actually have time, Gary? Because remember, like, the culture now isn't what it was 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Like, you know, we're – Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they're under contract. They're young. Cool. Great. They're not even in their prime years yet. That's fantastic. It's not like Danny Ainge can sit and rest on his laurels with that fact that, well, I've locked them up, because look around the league. Look at how many guys before their end of their contracts, you know, become stars and say, enough of this. I want out. And they just demand trades. It doesn't matter where they are in their deals.
29. There's no guarantee Tatum and Brown are going to be – Celtics forever. What if Brown comes up for free agency and the Atlanta Hawks have money and he wants to play close to home? Now, I don't, just throw it out there. I'm not saying it's the case. Like, you've got to make the situation where these guys do not want to leave. And you've got to surround them with teammates that can win. And being in the Eastern Conference Finals three times the last 4 years sped up the clock. It just did. Okay, because they were favorite to beat Miami last year and go to the finals. They were the third seed. Miami was the fifth seed, and they got spanked. But they were the favorite. And now you lose Gordon, and we can debate, and there's all this, well, what impact did that have? And, you know, what's Gordon played well for Charlotte this year, but he's missed 25 games. Like, so, you know, you chose Kemba over Terry Rozier. You know, there's some changes that have been made from over the last couple of years, but you thought that, okay, you've got the base and you got Kemba coming back healthy, Marcus Smart, Jalen and Jason, and you had Tice and Williams. Like, they thought, okay, we got enough. But it's Danny's fault for not getting the bench. Like, your biggest signings, okay, Tristan, you know, you can, I think it's been a blah year for him. And Jeff Teague.
That didn't work out.
Who was at a minimum, who started to play better before he got traded, but the first month or so, he was terrible. And, you know, and he's with Milwaukee now, so it's not like he's on the trash heap. I mean, the Bucks picked him up immediately, but you didn't pad your bench with talent, and there's inexpensive talent out there. Like, I was talking the other day with somebody, like Bryn Forbes was a shooter, San Antonio. He's $3 million. He signed with the Bucks. He's a pure shooter. Like, he could come off the bench and hit your threes. There were too many guys around the league that were inexpensive or in the Celtics price range that they either passed on or were never in on. And that hurt their bench because they thought Carson was going to develop. Like, I think that they and maybe that's a player development thing too now. You got to look at the player development. Is there a reason why Carson and Shimmy and Romeo haven't developed? Is there a reason why Romeo's always hurt? Is it the conditioning? I remember they fired Eddie Lassert a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie's a really good guy and a good trainer. They fired him because guys were getting too injured. Like, Avery was always – they fired him. Well, damn. Well, what's this training? Are these guys any better? It's not like they're getting remarkably healthy. Like, I'm sure Eddie Lassert is sitting around, oh, I got fired for because of Avery, who's always been injured and was injured. Well, the other teams he went to, he just doesn't – he's got one of those non-healthy bodies. And they blamed Eddie and the training staff. Let's get new guys in here. Like, to me – this is what I'm talking about, the organization, player development, training staff, like, assess everything. Guys are getting too damn hurt. Robert Williams has had, he had ankle, knee, turf toe, COVID, then the hip edema. I mean, COVID I can't blame him for, obviously, but, like, there's something wrong where his body just doesn't – you've got to do something about that. Whether it's sending him somewhere and getting his body completely checked out, seeing what his weaknesses are in his body, But if you're trying to bank on this guy to be your starting center, he can't miss games with turf toe. He can't. He's got to be available.
Real quick, I want to tell you about our sponsor. That is, of course, Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football, as we know, is over. In fact, it's closer to starting up again. NBA, NHL, MLB, all very much in full swing. Looking at NBA title odds, if you still feel good about those Nets with James Harden back now, plus 200 to win a championship. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant along as well. Lakers, if they can get out of the play-in tournament, plus 450 to repeat as champions. The Clippers, plus 550. The Jazz, I'm not a believer there, but we'll see, plus 700. Sixers, plus 850. And, I mean, if you believe in miracles, Celtics at plus 10,000. I'd probably save your money. BetOnline.ag, you can start betting on some of the end of the season awards too. MVP, you got the sixth man of the year, coach of the year, rookie of the year, most improved player, defensive player of the year. It's all available to you. You can find lines on all of it. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, the odds. Best place for you to place your bets. It is free, folks, to sign up. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code. It is CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Again, that promo code is CLNS50. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So, Gary, something we've talked about a lot during this show, and we've talked about it in past shows, probably with you as well, but certainly with others. I don't know if it's something you've written about. I'd be fascinated to check out that article, though, if you decide to. And that is, I just wonder, especially in light of everything that you were just highlighting, and you know, the devotion to development of Carson Edwards, of Shemi Ojeleye, of Taco Fall, of, you know, some of these guys. I just wonder, and it's such a weird way to phrase this question, but do the Celtics, not do they, I know they do, do they have a loyalty problem? Like, to me, if Doc Rivers didn't demand his way out way back when he was traded to the Clippers, he'd still be here. Like, if he wanted to be here, he'd still be here. He'd be NBA coach of the Celtics for, you know, for 20 plus years. If, you know, if Wick had his way, and clearly feels that way about Danny Ainge, and one championship, multiple rebuilds, and they've been in the conversation, they've been close, but one championship and, you know, in the last 15 years, whatever it's been, Brad Stevens getting, you know, fresh off getting knocked out against Miami in a series that, like you said, they were spanked when they were favored to win. He gets a 5-year extension in August and is under contract 6 more years when, you know, we all love trips to the conference finals. It's way better than the alternative of being less than, but there are a lot of people out there that believe he has not gotten enough out of his roster. They don't play hard enough for him, certainly this year, and maybe at points in the past, and just the catastrophe, the remarkable disappointment that was that, you know, 2018-19 season with Kyrie Irving when he just outright quit on the team. Is there a loyalty problem for this organization where it is, again, weird to say, but just too loyal to the cause, too loyal to the same voices like you talked about, and how do you rectify that?
Yeah, I do think there's a loyalty issue. I think there's like, I think Boston has that problem. Like, you know, the same old guys, the gang's all here, the good old boys network, however you want to call it. Like, you've got to have, and let me mention, like, maybe give, what about Allison Feaster and giving her a shot in front office decisions too? Now, she's part of the organization and she's kind of a player, like, she knows the game, you know, what about her? I'll throw that out there. But yeah, they do. Like, they just, they're resistant to change. It'd be nice to see more people of color in the organization. I think that's been a problem for years. Like, Allison's the highest ranking African American in the organization in the front office. Like, you gotta shake things up a little bit. And I don't know if this is, hopefully for them, if Celtic faithful, this is a wake up call enough to say, okay, what we're doing isn't quite working, because we've now been passed by Brooklyn. We were supposed to be lapping Brooklyn after that trade and their decision to go Garnett and Pierce and Terry and go for it and getting kind of falling on their face and then completely rebuilding. Philadelphia rebuilt in your face, and they've got their ups, had their ups and downs, and they had to make a coaching change. But I think, yeah, there's a loyalty. There's just the same old guys. Zarin's been there forever. Austin Ames, Danny. Like, it's time to bring in fresh blood in all levels. Brad has to stop being married to some of his butler guys. You know, and I'm not naming names, but there's just guys on that staff that's like, okay, are they really qualified? Or what's going on here? You know, his butler tree, you know, he's got to bring in some guys maybe he does not know. And guys who are like, listen, this is what I think you guys should do. I've been looking at you guys closely from the outside, looking in this, or a guy from another organization and you know, bring in a guy that says, this is what everybody thinks of you. If you're not sure of it, here's what it is. This is what they think of Marcus. This is like, it might be that time. I remember watching The Greatest, the Muhammad Ali movie, when he's fighting George Foreman. They brought in to the camp Foreman's sparring partner. And the guy told him about Foreman and what he did, was doing, and how they perceived out. Like, that's what you need to do. Bring in someone from the enemy camp or someone else and say, what do they think of us? What do the Bucks or the Nets think of us? And hear the cold, hard truth, because it's not good. Teams do not fear the Celtics anymore. The Kings came in here and won. The Pelicans came in here and won. The Thunder lost 14 in a row, beat the Celtics, and now have lost 8 in a row. It's 22 of 23 losses. And as I wrote yesterday, they haven't beaten anybody but the Celtics since March 31st. That can't happen. There's so many that can't happen that have happened this season that they have to assess things. If they don't, then that's on Wick. That's on ownership for allowing things to just kind of the merry-go-round.
Well, and you asked players and Brad about it post-game last night in Cleveland. Cleveland being the latest example. That Cavaliers team is putrid, had lost 11 in a row before just, you know, kind of having its way with the Celtics last night in a game that was sure as hell a lot more important to Boston than it was to Cleveland. I don't understand. Brad highlighted this too, and Evan could what is the number one thing that I have been just irritated about beyond belief all throughout this season, above all else, not injuries, not COVID, it's effort, it's give a crap, it's defense. You know, the identity of past Brad Stevens teams hasn't been there this year. And I don't know if that is, as you've talked about and written about, and you were the first one to do it, if that's tuning Brad out, or if it's a player issue, if it's a roster construction issue, if it is the connection of the coach, if it's just all the above, and that's just the easiest way to put it. I just don't understand the lack of pride from this team going out and competing. It's like it's like they look at their own injury list and just accept, you know, well, and no Jalen, no Robert, no Kemba, no Smart. Tonight's just not our night. And we're going to go out and we're going to play like it. There's no heart in this team at all, all year.
Just gutless. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, read the scouting report. Like, Kevin Love is a 3-point shooter now. You cannot leave him open. Like, it's just some of the stuff that you see. Kobe White in Chicago, he hit 7 threes against the Celtics. Like, it comes to a point after the second or third one, you might need to make adjustments. Okay, so he doesn't hit 5, 6, 7, and 8 on you. The same thing. Kevin Love was hot. Like, it was one of those nights. He was feeling it. You can't let him beat you. That's the only guy. Like, Colin Sexton wasn't good last night, but he went to the free throw line 16 times because the Celtics tried to really guard him and fouled him, because they don't have anybody with his quickness to keep up. Tremont is not quick enough to keep up with Colin Sexton. Okoro scored all of his points basically on hustle plays or beating Evan Fournier, who he was matched up with. You know, like, it's just the same old, same old. You saw it coming. Like, they need to punch in the mouth. Nope, they fall behind 22-11. And then they get a one-possession lead. And it looked like, and it was one of those games that if they go up 7 or 8, they probably pull away because Cleveland's going to pull back. But they let Cleveland hang around, and all of a sudden, Kevin Love hits 3 threes, and then they're down 8. It's just like, you saw it coming, and there's nothing they can do. And then Grant takes a 3, and you know, it's like, and Jason's trying too hard against 5 defenders. It's just the same old, same old. But Cleveland's young guys are better than Boston's young guys. That's what it is. If you give Love and Tatum a wash, and Evan Fournier was just off last night, he was 6 for 20. He had a bunch of open looks. He missed them. That's kind of the Fournier I remember seeing in Orlando. Like, I saw plenty of that. Like, I like Fournier. He's a good shooter. But I definitely saw a lot of, like, man, he missed a lot of open shots, you know, when he was in Orlando. That was the Fournier I remember seeing. And then the other guys, Payton, bless his heart, Neesmith didn't really have a good game. He got into foul trouble. Like, it's just the same old thing, like you said, not coming out motivated. And who's supposed to motivate him? I don't know. Is it Tristan? You thought Tristan, his comeback game, he was going to play like a man possessed. He played okay. He's okay. You know, it's just so much, like, I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know if that's like they're just tuning Brad out, as I wrote 3 months ago, and everybody jumped before it. You know, that's not true. You're crazy. You're just, you don't like Brad. I like Brad. I like Brad a lot. I just think something isn't registering. You've lost 10 games, guys. Sorry, 11 to lottery teams. If you go 7-4 in that 11, you are literally talking what? 7 more wins. You're talking like the 4 seed, the third. You're talking about 4. You're talking about maybe 3, but probably 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
11 games, twice to the Cavaliers, twice to the Pelicans, twice to the Kings, twice to the Pistons. I mean, once to Oklahoma City, and there's another team I can't remember right now that literally, twice to the Bulls.
Mm.
11 losses to teams in the lottery. 11. And they beat the Clippers twice. They beat the Nuggets twice. That's the crazy part. They beat Phoenix. They held Phoenix to 86 points. But it's more, it's been more down than up. And so something's got to change. That was a long answer. But yeah, like Adam, they have a loyalty issue. It's time to change some things up. If guys have been around too long, it might be time for them to move on or retire or say, listen, you know, we're going to suggest you move to another organization. We got to shake things up. They've got to make changes. And I'm not talking about just a couple of coaches. I'm talking about up, bottom to the top, to the roster, to the front office, to management. They've got to change some philosophy.
We brought it up earlier. I'll circle back to it. I was going to answer it or ask this question about 40 minutes ago. are we totally positive Boston's going to make it out of the play-in tournament? Considering, and like, look, Miami,
no.
Miami, yeah, right. That's just what I'm getting at. I'm not totally sold there.
No, Charlotte is going to be a tough out. They're going to get Miles Bridges back. It looks like Gordon is not going to play. Okay, but they got
LaMelo.
That's
too bad. That would be a fun storyline.
It would be. They got LaMelo, Terry, Miles Bridges, PJ Washington, and Devontae Graham. That's a good, young, hungry team. James Borrego's done. He should get some Coach of the Year votes. I'm not saying he'll win because Thibodeau should run away with this, but he has done a good job because I was unsure about whether he could lead this organization. They have taken that step forward, and they have dealt with a bunch of injuries and COVID and all that stuff. So they get Bridges back. And, I mean, that team is tough. That was the team that whooped the Celtics' ass on that Sunday afternoon. That was without LaMelo. Now they got LaMelo. Like, to me, they have – because the Celtics haven't played against LaMelo this year.
Right.
Like
– if they get out of the play-in tournament, then there's Brooklyn sitting there waiting for them.
Yeah.
Clean them up.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. Like, yeah, that 7-8 game and then – They would play the winner of the Washington. They could play Charlotte or Washington.
You want to play Russ and Bradley Beal in a do or die game? I don't know if you want to do that. I don't know if you want to go that far because Russ is coming. He's gonna have 20, 20, and 20. Yeah, it's just a matter of it can you know Beal's gonna get 30. You
guys tired of people other guys. all over him all year too.
Yeah, I mean to me, nothing is guaranteed. This team can't beat the Cavs.
Are they better served to lose? Why even tease the organization?
I just think them going out like chumps is not good for the – no. I think they need to win. They need to win. Going out like chumps is just going to – now, if someone wants to, like, blow everything up, like, and if people like, yeah, I want them to lose because I want things to get worse. Like, I want them to really make changes. Who knows? That might lead to something. But, no, I think they can't finish on their backs. They got to play hard. They've got to figure things out. They got to get Robert Williams healthy. They got to come out with some passion here. Okay, they put themselves in the position. Who knows? It might end up working out for them where they play, the light turns on for them. But there is not a given, Evan, in terms of like this play-in tournament. Charlotte is going to be hungry and ready. No one's afraid to play in Boston, so let's cut that out. This is not 19. This is not 2008. Like, no one's afraid to come up here and play. So it's nice that the game will be at home, likely, if they don't fall to 8 or 9, you know. But it's no given that they're going to get out of this tournament.
And that starts May 18th, which is Tuesday, of course, runs through the 21st, the play-in tournament before the postseason, so we'll see. Last thing from me, well, I guess there are a couple of things. Real quick on this one, because you could go on forever on this. It's a polarizing topic, and that's Marcus Smart's, you know, role and place here. Are you inclined to agree with what Perk was saying, that, you know, this is someone who needs to be moved? Evan was talking about it off air before we came on, that he's reaching a place mentally where he's starting to reason with himself. Okay, maybe that's just something that either should happen or at least will happen. I'm coming to terms with it. As we know, like, the people who love Marcus Smart absolutely love Marcus Smart, and the alternative is true as well. There's nobody is just is okay about Marcus Smart. He's a very polarizing player when it comes to, you know, what he does on the court and the intangibles and all of that stuff. You know, it just seems to me there's no other move that you can really make. Like, Tatum's not going anywhere. Brown's not going anywhere. And I don't think they should, by the way. At that point, like, Smart is your most tradable asset.
Yeah, he is.
Is he to you someone that should be moved as part of this?
I think they have to look into it. Yeah, they have to look into any possibilities at this point. I like Marcus. I think he's if he ever goes to another team and comes back, he should get a standing O. I just don't know if his usefulness is peaking anymore. Like, is he doing good things for the team? Like, the other night against Miami, like, he gets frustrated, then he gets in that collision with Duncan Robinson and puts Duncan on the line. Like, it's just, Marcus, you're not getting that call. Or the thing with Jurkic in Portland. Like, you know, or Marcus, what game was that where he was the Charlotte game when they were making a real run and he went and tried to get that 3-point foul at the end of the quarter. Then Miles Bridges hits a 35-footer to end the quarter and they were pretty much done. Like, there's just been – or the play in Memphis where he thought he backed into Grayson Allen and fired a three in overtime, missed, thought he was going to get – like, those have to stop. And I think that everyone thought this offseason – after Marcus kind of went ham in the bubble with shooting, taking 13 threes in a game, like, okay, they're going to pull Marcus aside, calm him down, tell him. And I think there's been moments where he has just not been that shooter. But then there's the mental plays where you can tell he's cracking, the collisions and the flagrant fouls and things like that. And I don't know if that's any more of a good use to the team anymore. Like, someone pointed out, like, because Marcus is not that enforcer either. Like, someone, I forgot who's like, when's the last time you saw, like, a Celtic get into it with another player? I got real shit for this in Milwaukee when Middleton fouled Tatum really hard. The first game in Milwaukee where they lost. And Jalen kind of came to pick him up and said kind of something to Middleton, but they ended up laughing or were smiling afterwards. Like, where's that dude to be like, listen, you can't, no more of that BS. Yeah. Don't do that. Like, who is the enforcer? Who's the beef on this team? And I don't know if that's Marcus. because there has to be somebody with some fight. Like, I don't know if it could be Jalen, but like, and I wrote, no one really, oh, Jalen came to pick him up and you're wrong and you're just making stuff up. And it was like, no, someone needed to say to Middleton, like, hey, dude, don't do that. No, no, we're not laughing.
Yeah.
Cause at the end of they were, so I don't know if you guys remember that play, but it was the first game at Milwaukee. They lost when they made that huge comeback. And remember Tice's final shot as a Celtic, the three-pointer that he missed. And Middleton fouled the hell out of Tatum. But, you know, and it's like, I don't know if Marcus is going to fill that role. That's fine. But there just can't be any of these dumb plays, these flagrant fouls, that collision with Duncan Robinson. Marcus, you know how the refs feel about you. You're not getting that call. Duncan got two free throws. It was like, that's the last thing Miami needs. A great free throw shooter at the line shooting free throws. Like, that's not a smart play. Not smart basketball plays. No pun intended. But I think they have to be open to figuring out, is this good for our team long term? Yeah, he's indispensable at times. He's the heart and soul. I get all that stuff. But there's nothing, like, I don't know how much he's helped his stock this year. Then he's an impending free agent. Are you going to bring him back for, you know, 3-4 more years next season? Are you going to sign an extension? It's a good question. Like, and how does that affect your cap? What are you going to do with Kimba? Like, all these things, because Jalen and Jason are there. And then what are you going to do with Fournier? Like, are you going to have to trade Marcus to make room for? Like, there's just so much that has to be done. I'm not against moving him for the right deal for a capable, solid player in return. But I don't know this year, after watching him all year, whether what he's doing is useful for the team anymore like it was, because he did not have a good defensive year.
Yeah. Anything left for you, Ep?
Well, just, yeah, it feels like, you know, they have a decision to make. That three guys, they got to figure out what the hell they're going to do with. And Kemba, given his contract and injury history here, is going to be extremely difficult to move. And we've had, you know, guys in the show, Sean Devaney's like, they've tried to move Kemba. Nobody was biting at that number. No way, especially with that health problem. You traded for Evan Fournier, who has been, you know, with the exception of last night, you know, and when he's healthy and not, you know, ridden with COVID, it's been a really nice fit.
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed the floor space and the ball movement. He doesn't try and do too much most of the time, but he's a guy that's, you know, a solid player they definitely need on the wing, no question. And so it comes down to Kemba, Smart, and Fournier. What do you do with those guys? Again, if they somehow find a way to move Kemba Walker, that frees up a whole bunch of space. But I don't think that deal is out there anyway. So it comes down to Smart and Fournier. So you traded two second-round picks, but the whole TPE thing, you got that whole problem and that talking point went away when they acquired Fournier. So you're going to let Hayward walk for a half a season of Fournier and then do nothing with it. That's bad. That's a bad look, right? We all were like, oh, the Fournier thing's great as long as they bring him back. Well, does that cost Marcus Smart? Because, again, some point you got to make a decision. And you've planted your flag with two guys in Jalen and Jason, which I think is correct. You have two guys like that, you invest. You're going to have to lose somebody at some point. And it seems like, given the conversation, Gary, that you're probably leaning towards, again, provided the right deal, Marcus might be the odd man out here. Is 48 now you try and bring back?
Yeah, he's got the most, him and now Tristan have the most tradable contracts, right? Like, Kimba, you got to bring salary back unless you're going to trade him to a team with cap space and they can just take them all in. Like, you're basically, Kimba's at the point in his career where you're going to have to take someone else's bad contract back. And, you know, a star player, a standout player. And I think Kimba will definitely be more tradable next summer if he opts in, because he's got the opt-out clause, just like Al Horford had and Gordon Hayward had. He's got in that fourth year. But I think with Kimba, you got to figure out how healthy. Let me make another point. The Kimba playing, not playing back-to-backs, I think really hurt the chemistry of this team too. Mm-hmm. You can't ever get used to him being around, and he's got the little nagging injuries. It's not his fault, but is that going to be permanent? Like, next year, is he going to be playing in back-to-backs, or is this something we're going to have to deal, look, see, and view for the next, you know, till he's finished because his knee is chronically deteriorating. Like, we don't know. But I think that, like, they could have used Kimba last night. But nope, Kimba's not playing. Kimba's not playing Sunday in New York. You know, could they, you know, would they really need that game? Well, they got to play it without Kimba because it's the second of a back-to-back. Like, it's just so much that costs you when you have to do that management thing constantly. I think it messes with your chemistry. Then you don't have a capable backup point guard. And then Marcus goes out, so now you don't have any, basically, very few point guards in the Cleveland game Wednesday. So I think the Kimba situation, I think they would love to move him, but who's going to take him? Because let's look at, like, John Wall was wanted out, and it just happened. That was a perfect storm. They made about the same money, him and Russ. They both wanted out. And there's a swap. John Wall has done nothing this year for Houston. He's just a salary. Chris Paul, like, Oklahoma City was looking to dump him. Phoenix wanted that, needed that point guard. Like, these are perfect storms. But is Kimba a guy who is, like, Sacramento needs him. But you know what I'm saying? Like, a team who's looking to rise needs Kimba. That's not the case anymore. Like, what team would want is a point guard away from really being a playoff contender? Sack out the Aaron Fox. They're set there. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at some of the teams that are, you know, New Orleans has Kyra Lewis, who's going to be pretty good, and Lonzo Ball. Like, what team is going to, you know, and then if you do that, you're going to have to take back, let's say New Orleans or whatever, you're going to have to take back someone who's making 16 and someone who's making 12 who might help you or might not. You have to take back somebody's bad deals. Like, you know, or you could throw in the trade exception. I don't know how that would all work. Because I think they have $11 million left for the trade exception or 10. So, I mean, that could be used to acquire someone else in a deal. It's just a lot of moving parts that have to be addressed. But the Kimba thing, I think he was the key to this team this season. His inconsistency and the injuries, I think, very much hurt this team. As you can see what he's capable of, because he's not defending, so he's got to score. Like, I think, like, people, like we mentioned earlier, people were like, well, Gary, whose fault is it? You're not mentioning whose fault it is in this thing. It's like everybody's fault. Sunday, Kimba did not show up ready to play. The blowout when they were down 79-53 at halftime, Kimba had 3 points in the first half with 3 turnovers. He was not ready to play. He warmed up a little in the second half. He played well Tuesday. So he was partially to blame on Sunday. It was different guys on Sunday, different guys on Tuesday. Like, when Kimba isn't a shot maker, then what is he? Not a great defender, not a guy who's going to get you a lot of steals or assists. Hey, I'm not shooting well, but I'm going to get you 10 assists. Like, that's Russ, right? But with Kimba, he's got to make shots. And this year, he's not making the shots. He's not getting you off where he's scoring 8 of your first 10 points. So they've got to figure out what to do. Health-wise, how is he? Is he ready to contribute to a 482-game season next year? What does he need to do to rehab and get himself ready this summer and figure out what to do with Smart?
Well, that right there is your postmortem preview. As we will obviously wind things down here with this season. You got 2 games left in the regular season. Those are both this weekend. And at least if you want to go out and enjoy potential nice weather, you don't have to watch because they're in the afternoon. At Minnesota Saturday, at New York on Sunday. You going to be at those games, Gary?
I will be at the Hall of Fame. I'm headed there tomorrow to see KG and obviously the great Kobe Bryant be inducted on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I will be at the Knicks game. But I'll be in Mohegan Sun over the next couple of days at the Hall of Fame.
Well, you will have way more fun doing that. I'm jealous. That's going to be a great time. Look forward to hearing what KG in particular has to say, obviously, in these next couple of days, and media availability and everything else. But play-in tournament looms, folks. Our thanks to Gary, to everyone right here, obviously, and I'm Adam. You know, I think we know that by now. Again, this show powered by BetOnline.ag. Go to BetOnline.ag today. Use the promo code CLNS50 for a 50% sign-up bonus. Gary, the pain is almost over, and then you get to the postseason, and you can cover teams, you know, across the league for the next couple of months that you may have more fun watching.
Yeah, we'll see. It should be a fun playoffs. I mean, regardless of the tough season, I'm looking forward to the postseason. It should be exciting.
All right, again, Gary Washburn and Evan Valenti. I'm Adam Kaufman. Thanks for tuning in. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff here for Celtics Beat, and we'll catch you next time.